and hit the guy with the ball. And when you talk about a read option and a quarterback carrying the ball more, well, he's going to be hit naturally more. I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary. I think if you sit in the pocket all day and we hit you from there, you're going to have the normal amount of hits. When you run the read option, if the quarterback, and there's a lot of way to run the read option where they block the guy that that would make the quarterback keep the ball, so they can really dictate a little bit on the offensive side how often he actually keeps it. But when you run the read option and he is a ball carrier, he's treated like a ball carrier, he will be hit more often. Simple for the fact of the read option. Now, as far as practicing against it, I think we have a heck of an advantage because we have a whole off season of watching it, talking about it. It's one thing for coaches to know the answers to stop the read option. When the players understand the options and you get to practice it through the off season, you feel more comfortable about defending the read option. For instance, last year in Cleveland, when we were about to play RG3, he didn't play that game, but we were preparing for it. It was a whole out-of-the-box thinking of trying to stop this read option as opposed to the conventional NFL. Here, we see it so often, we talk about it more, the techniques are geared for it. We have a little bit of it's still hard to stop, but we have a better familiarity.
I think a lot of the discussion about it is hitting quarterback after he executes a fake, and how far teams will take that this year to go out, to get a hit on the quarterback.
I think he'll be hit more often when they run the read option, but to the degree that it makes them not run it is really in the offensive coordinator's hands and each franchise's opinion on. How much in harm's way do they want to put their quarterback?
Bill, back in the spring when you were talking about just getting this defense away from the wide nine toward a two-gap 3-4 and wherever you're going to land,
you said that September would still be fact-finding mode.
Absolutely.
What kind of feeling do you have?
I'm very anxious for the Redskins to show us who we are and where we are. It is going to be – I don't know what's coming. The truth will be, at the end of that game, we'll know defensively how far along we are. We're coming up against the top rushing offense in the NFL last year, fifth in scoring. It's one of the top offenses out there. They're very talented across the board. They played all 16 games together last year, which is a huge advantage to play in the system. And we have to face that. And we've got to face it using, an overhauled defense with new techniques that we've taught. And we learned a New England game. We came out there and tried to get ahead of ourselves and play a little bit above the technique, and it hurt us. And hopefully we'll come out in Monday night and we'll play to the techniques that we've worked the whole offseason on. But no matter what I wish for or what I want, it doesn't matter. The game will show us who we are.
As fast as this offense is, what pressure is that going to put on your defense to be in that same shape where
It's a great question. We all, from the very beginning, we've talked in the Eagles locker room and in our meeting rooms defensively about it's not the Philadelphia Eagles offense that is no huddle and up-tempo. It's our whole team. The defense has to be in equally great shape to handle the no huddle offense because we're running it. So we pride ourselves on being in that great condition, and we can no huddle all game. Our defense is just as ready for us to be a three and out or a three and in. And if it's a half a sip of Gator and you have to go back on the field, so be it. That's who we are as a team, and it's a positive, not a negative.
But is there more pressure on you guys maybe than some other teams because you're going so quickly here?
I think pressure comes in how you view it. I really do. And I think the collective mindset in our defensive mind is it's not going to be pressure because it's who we're preparing for. It's what we are preparing for. It's how we're getting ourselves in shape. We're ready for it. I've been on a lot of teams that you're on the sideline trying to get your corrections done and the guy gets some Gatorade and, hey, defense back up, and it's been a negative. I think we've got the mindset right now that it doesn't matter how quick it turn around. This offense could go three and out or three and in and score a touchdown, and we're back out no matter how you do it. So we're ready for it. We talk about it. I think our mental outlook about it is in the right place.
Do you know right now who your best pass rushers are?
I think we'll find out, but I think the guys that have the history of it, the Trent Coles, the Connors, the Brandon Grahams. I think Michael Kendrick has a skill set for rushing a little bit. Cox, Vinnie Curry's got a nice – it's kind of showed itself through their history and their what the stats have shown over the last couple of years. In preseason, we had a couple of nice sack games.
Do you want to get them all on the field at different times? Will we see that?
I think the nature of the defense, if you're active – on a roster, you're probably going to get on the field, especially in the D-line. We've got to, especially when you talk about the no huddle and your group being in shape, I think that's a natural progression of who we are as a team, that the D-line definitely will roll through, and backers, I mean, they'll all play. So it'll be a rotation, definitely, probably more so than you've seen.
Quarterback who hasn't played the entire preseason. So you have to emphasize to your team that you're going against this kid who had a great season last year, or a kid who's coming off an injury. I mean, how do you kind of...
Well, the fact that, I mean, he's done a great job rehabbing from a major injury, and the fact that he's back and starting is a tribute to him. The offense hasn't changed a whole lot. It's got a little different dynamic with him because of his skill set. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. With him being healthy, we're preparing for a healthy RG3 and all that comes with it. And that's the only way we can prepare defensively. And I'm sure that if they deem that he's healthy, then he's going to run the offense like they ran it last year and had the success where they win the last seven games of the season run with him running this offense. So we anticipate that what they did well and what they had success with last year is probably what they're coming at us with.
You only have three outside linebackers, and Chip yesterday referenced Connor Barwin as the only one who's a drop backer. So what does that mean for your defense and what your approach is going
with? Well, he's the one that's dropped the most. We've cross-trained Brandon Graham and that same drop backer, and we've got Casey Matthews for the inside that he can play outside too. So, you know, we've got depth there. It's just not in the roster of outside linebacker spot. We've got Vinnie Curry who could go out and play some aspects of it. So we've got enough of flexibility in the scheme and how we can go in and out of the 3-4 alignment that we, if we were to have something go wrong there or something where we needed some depth, that we could, we're prepared for any contingency. Really, we have a plan for anything that may happen there.
But can you rush
Barwin, given that he's your primary dropback guy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The drops that we give the outside backers, guys, are very rarely anything that has to do with vertical. It's all about a 15-by-15 box that they live in. So when you're asking them, it really presents some problems for the offense, too, when they're trying to run the ball and block those guys with receivers. There's a lot of things that go into it. I know when you think of Trent Cole and coverage and everybody thinks about dropping vertically and deep, it kind of, you say, that just doesn't fit, and I understand that. So the things we'll ask them to do are in a smaller box than what you'd ask other linebackers to do, if that makes any sense.
Chip said yesterday that Earl Wolf would play some safety, and he said that he thought that he'd play almost as much as Nate. What do you plan on doing at that safety?
Well, Nate's a starter. We named Nate the starter, and we'll roll Earl in as I see fit, really. I'm going to get a feel for it, and Nate will play, and Earl will play. And Earl will get in there, and I want to keep growing him as a young safety. But I think Nate, we'll start with Nate and see how that works out, and Patrick will be the other one,